focused now?
Oh, God.
Are you... You're rubbing your eyes like you're not.
I'm so focused.
So...
so focused. Or
to shore.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I think I'm doing it next year.
Really?
I think so.
For real.
For realsies. If it doesn't rain the entire day beforehand.
Well, did that make it... Oh, Mike already left.
It didn't make a difference. He said, if anything, it made it better because the sand was more packy.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Greg had a good time, but he said he probably won't do it again.
Yeah.
Just the amount of people.
The amount of people was insane.
Yeah, he was... He gets kind of the same way I do, but I think it's actually worse where it's like a big crowd of people is just overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. And on a bike, too.
Like, yeah.
That's...
Because even when we go to concerts, we typically have seats.
Yeah.
So at least you have like a little bit of space. Mm-hmm. But like Or to Shore, where it's just like a clusterfuck and there's no like real direction. And it's everybody's bikes.
Like, yeah. If it was a road race, like Marquette Marathon starting in like a big group isn't.
It's totally different. Like, yeah. Starting at the beginning of like a big like foot race
is totally different.
It's way different. Mm-hmm. But when it's a ton of people on bicycles, it's like more unpredictable.
Well, it's one of the largest mass starts in the Midwest or Michigan. I can't remember.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do they do it like that?
I don't know. It's just been like that since it started 24 years ago.
Because even the Shore Run, which is a foot race that has, I don't even know how many people do the long one.
Yeah, a lot.
100 people, maybe?
Yeah.
Even that one has two different starting times.
I know.
Like, if you think you're going to take over 2.5 hours, mm-hmm. then you can start a half hour early.
Well, and they even have preferred start times. So a handful of people can mail in their Strava times and stuff,
yeah.
and get up in the top.
Yeah.
So, yeah. For those of you listening, we're talking about the Or to Shore Epic Bike Race. That happens in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
I just pretend that everybody knows what August. I'm talking about at yeah. all times.
It's every August, and about 2,500 bikers do it.
It's insane.
So there's a 26 to 28 miler, and then there's a 48 to 50 miles. It varies a little bit, but...
So when I dropped Greg off, mm-hmm. thankfully, like, you know, lived in Negaunee for a while.
Yeah.
I knew, like, I turned onto Moss Street.
Yeah.
And then did a little loop. And then when I saw, like, lots of cars were parked mm-hmm. on the street, like, people unloading bikes, then I just dropped him off.
Yeah.
I didn't have to watch the start. I wasn't going to try to park somewhere and watch the start. Like,
we found a place, like, people. Right away.
Yeah.
Parking.
It wasn't that bad. Easy for drop off. For pickup, I thought, okay, well, I'll park at Picnic Rocks. Again.
The Barry had a ton of parking. The Barry Event Center?
I know.
Yeah.
But I figured, like, once I got past, okay. like, the clusterfuck of Lakeview and the mm-hmm. Y and all that. So I pulled in there and parked. Well, it's, like, a square lot.
Yeah.
With people parking, like, facing all the way around the inside of the square.
Yeah.
So I pulled in, and I was driving Greg's truck, too, which I've only driven, like, 3 times now.
And getting used to driving a truck is
yeah.
difficult.
So I pulled in and there was a car parked like right in the very corner of the square. So I thought, okay, well, I'll park next to them. And as long as nobody parks behind either of us, that car in the corner can definitely get out.
Yeah.
And I will probably be able to wiggle out. Some freaking hoe pulls in and
you
parks.
Dumb hoe.
I'm still sitting in the truck and she pulls in and parks and it was a smaller car and she didn't even pull in far enough. So she completely parked in the one car and partially parked me in and I just put it in reverse. I'm like, you better move. You better pull all the way into that spot because I'm not going to look like the dick parking in that corner car.
No.
So then I'm like, okay, well, help yourself, ma'am. Like, take that spot. I wanted to put a note on that person's car in the corner and be like, the red truck was here first. I did not park you in.
Yeah. Sorry. Sorry, car.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So then I moved because, and then there's like 10 other cars like pulling into that lot, like thinking there's anywhere to park in there.
Yeah.
So I turned around. Well, then I thought, dummy me. I pulled into Lakeview and I thought, well, I'll just go around the backside of the Y. also a huge clusterfuck. Uh-huh. There was a truck that was trying, while I was waiting, tried to back into three different tiny spots.
Because the Y doesn't have parking spots. It's yeah. just all kind of willy-nilly
so when, then, whenever you get in there. Traffic jam. In the meantime, Greg calls or texts me and he says, I'm done. Are you here? So I called him. I'm like losing my mind right now. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get out of the parking lot. Everybody's going everywhere. Like there's no, and then it was blocked off. So I couldn't just drive around the whole building. So then I had to go back out onto Fair and Greg goes, okay, I'm walking down Fair towards, the BP.
Yeah.
So then as I'm driving, I get past the dome almost. And he like waves me down and I just like
zoomed
over. In quick, mm-hmm. threw his bike in the back and we were out of there. And he's like, sorry, I know that like John and Maggie are here, your mom, Chelsea's here, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, but I can't fucking handle it. So
I get it.
He's yeah. So then
I don't mind it because like I'm used to Disney and like big theme parks. So like big crowds.
No.
Don't really piss me off. I'm just like, whatever. Everybody's just trying to get where they're going. It's
well,
cool.
Even a big crowd of people like that in a theme park where kind of everyone's going a different direction is different when there's 500 cars trying to decide where to go.
Yes, that's true.
Lots of people don't know, obviously, where to park.
Because they're out of town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just like this hot mess. And then
we had like no problem in the Barry parking lot.
I should have just...
Like, no problem.
You were a car... You were right ahead of me.
Oh.
Like, I saw you in the roundabout.
Yeah, because I just, like, pulled right into the Barry parking lot and parked.
I saw you pull in and park, and I thought I should probably do that, too. And I passed by, like, two street parking spots, mm-hmm. but, like, I'm going to try to parallel park Greg's truck.
I don't know what is happening upstairs.
But, yeah, anyway, he had a good ride. Everyone good. Involved.
Everybody did great.
Yeah.
We knew so many people doing it. Greg did it and Mike did it. And Mike beat his previous time by like 12 minutes.
Oh, nice.
I know. So we were leaving and he was just like, yeah, I feel fine. Recovery's fine. I'll probably be a little sore tomorrow. But he was just like, I just need to be lighter. And I'm like, we can work on that if that's something that you want to do.
I mean, that does make life
easier.
Make
life easier.
When you're not carrying around extra weight.
Yeah.
Which was my experience this morning. So I'm just, I already told you about it, but now I'm telling everyone that listens. So I wanted to run the 5K at the Marquette Fairgrounds. It was the first year they were doing it. Mm-hmm. So I like went to register, mind you, I went to register yesterday online. Online register, which you can do for some races.
You can do up to the day.
Up to the day. Mm-hmm. So I went to register online.
Even Ordishore was like yesterday morning or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like yesterday morning-ish. Maybe it was even
I thought
day
it
before.
Was the day before because you were pissed.
2 days before?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it wasn't yesterday. It was the day before. And they'd closed online registry. But for the price of the fair entry, which was $7, I could run it, but I wouldn't get a shirt. So I was like, all right, fuck, you know, I'm not doing it. And then I was all sad because I just started like running, exercising again. So then I drop Greg off for Ordishore. I come home and, oh, on the way too, because Greg like wasn't thinking clearly. We're on our way to drop him off, and he's like, yeah, I don't know what to wear because it's, like, misting and kind of cold. It'd be a great day for a road race.
And you're like, you're a dick.
And I looked at him, and I go, yeah, I know. And he goes, oh, I'm sorry. So then I got home, and, like, last second, I looked at my watch, and I thought, okay, I can throw a bag together. I can get there with time to run
Absolutely.
It. Yep. And I thought since it was cold and rainy that maybe somebody, like people wouldn't show up.
Yeah.
And I could snag a shirt. Mm-hmm. So I go up and I pay my entrance to the fair and I said, where do I sign up for the race? And she goes, oh, it's $7. And she goes, but day of you won't get a shirt.
Which really sucks. And I think maybe in the next few years they'll plan on same day registration.
Well, this is the thing that got me. I didn't even like the shirt when I saw it. No offense.
But it's the first Marquette year.
Fair. Yeah. But it's the first year of it. And when I went to, like, she put my name down on the thing, you know, she had the printout with everyone's names, and it wasn't chip timed. It wasn't,
no.
It was just a fun run. And she wrote my name on there.
There's no such thing as a fun run.
There's no fun runners.
I am not a fun runner.
I know you're not. You're a knockdown grandma to get a better place. They had, I don't know if you've ever ordered shirts for anything from any of the, like, printing shops around town. I didn't know if you had to, like, for work or anything.
No.
I have for a couple jobs now. And the biggest box of t-shirts that you can buy probably weighs like 60 pounds.
Yeah.
Okay. It's this massive box. She's writing down, she's handing out shirts to people that were on the list. You know, there had to be 500 shirts in that box. And I'm like,
can I just give you $20 for a shirt?
I will give you $20 for one of those t-shirts right now. We don't have to tell anyone. There's somebody on that list that didn't show up. I don't even care what size it is. Small to 3X. Just give me one of the damn shirts.
You're bribing fair officials.
Yeah.
I'd be pissed, though, too.
I should have. Mm-hmm. The run reminded me so much of cross country.
Yeah. Flat.
Flat. Sandy.
Flat and smelling of cows.
Yep. It smelled like barnyard. It was, like, misty and cold, and then the sun came out, and it was miserable hot for, like, the last little bit of it. It was also on grass, a lot of it, like, mowed grass.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Very nice, yeah. And he said before the race, he's like, just so no one complains, it's actually, like, 3.12. And I'm like, fine, you know, whatever. So I'm, like, coming in to, like, the end of it, or, like, I had to round a corner.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, it's just up ahead, like, not long now. And I looked at my watch, and it was, like, 2.5.
You're like, I still have, like, half mile, dude.
So I turned the corner, and seriously, it was 2.69 or something. And then
you just keep running. You're like, I said I was doing a 5K today.
I said I was doing a 5K, and this is not a 5K. I just, like, run out the gate of do another lap. I don't know. But then I, like, applauded for people coming in for a little bit. And then there was a girl, I told you, running with a little kid. There's two people running with, like, little ones. And she starts to turn the corner. I'm like, good job, almost done. And she looked at her watch and she goes, really? And I'm like, yeah, it's, like, right there. And she goes, but I only have 2.64.
People that keep track of that is.
So then I told one of the, like, one of the volunteers, I said, yeah, this was a great race. It was a lot of fun. Like, nice coming out here. I said, but I clocked way short.
Two comments. Short race. Not enough shirts.
Yeah. I'm not saying I have to walk in here and sign up day of and get a shirt, but.
No, because that's.
Usually, like, print a few extra. Just a few extra for people like me.
Yeah.
That procrastinate. And I told Greg, I'm like, well, it's my own fucking fault because I didn't.
It is.
I didn't sign up a week ago. But.
You were waffling. You were waffling too much.
Yeah. So then we went to the fair today.
Mm-hmm.
And we went home, showered. Met up with some friends, went to the fair. I had two tacos, some of Greg's Croatian chicken, deep fried veggies. They got a bloomin' onion. I had some of that.
Bloomin' onion.
Big thing of vinegar fries. Two giant Cokes that Greg and I split. Greg had ice cream. And then on my way out, I got an elephant ear to eat.
Yeah, I was going to say, where the fuck's the elephant ear? That's the only.
Greg took pictures, so I'll have my annual fair photo up on the FB tonight, probably.
I love it so much. I love the bin of salt and vinegar fries.
See?
That's my favorite.
They have that bucket, right? And when I was looking at people walking with the bucket, Greg got a medium fry, and I feel like there's more fries in a medium cup.
I think because they try to shove it all in there, and the bucket, they're just like, yeah, it looks like you got a lot. You know what I mean?
Because, it is, like, spread out.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the cup of fries that we ate, and we got halfway through our onion, the bloomin' onion, and Ryan's like, I want to throw this away, but I also feel bad throwing it away.
Yeah. I love fair food. We're going out to camp tomorrow, and I told Mike we should one of us should just pay admission and just go in and get an elephant ear and a bin of fries and walk out.
Cause Nim, we're laughing. Nim goes, next year I'm going to bring like a cooler or like a cart and I'm just going to walk around and buy all the fair food and leave.
Yeah. She'll be like, yep, this is good.
I got my deep fried veggies. I got my corn dog. I got my cotton candy. My shake up lemonade, which I'm still drinking.
Yeah. You got a cute little container for it and everything.
Yeah, and I decided this is going to be my new nighttime water cup.
Ooh.
Because now that we have the two kitty cats, the two kittens, they like to rinse their paws in my water.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's my life right now.
That is a lot of going on.
Yeah. And we're going to the concert soon.
Yep.
We're watching Pat's Dogs tonight because Pat and Tom and Emma are in Milwaukee to see Ghost.
Yeah.
We're going soon. Stacy's going to stay at our house for the night. What time do you get out of work?
4.
4? I guess she does too, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're going to do. I guess it depends on what time we leave on Tuesday.
Because
we'll have to just leave early enough because Stacy leaves for work at like 7:30.
Yeah.
So we have to leave early enough so that the dogs aren't inside, because she goes, I get out at 3 and I'll like go right to your house. And I said, well, maybe we'll try to be back by then, but who knows.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Ghost.
I know, that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have anything going on really.
D&D tomorrow night
maybe. Jason was supposed to run, this is the longest intro ever, sorry guys.
Who gives a fuck? People love it.
Yeah. So Jason usually DMs for us, but Jason said he's burned out with DMing because he didn't realize how fucked up his brain is until he started running games.
Does he get like super aggressive and morbid?
Super dark.
Mm.
Like we did a Disney one the other day and it was just like a one shot or two session one.
Mm-hmm.
And like Belle stabbed the beast and was actually really in love with Gaston. So it was just, it was wild. It was like a twist on.
Okay.
Yeah. But he does get very dark with some
for
of his
some
campaigns.
Reason. And I mean, I saw this episode so long ago, but the IT Crowd episode where Moss like takes out the corporate guys for like a fun night and they just play D&D and it gets super emotional.
Yeah.
I every time I hear D&D now, I think of his like sound effects.
It's
like, does this sound ready mysterious?
Does this sound mysterious? I love that episode.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really
one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
So he is dark. And
he's
now
dark. So we're trying to figure out what we're going to do tomorrow night because we're missing a couple people too. So we might just end up playing board games or something.
I was going to say, play a board game.
Yeah. Jason was just like, I'm coming over to your house regardless. So I guess we'll plan something.
Like, yeah. Okay. You have a million games.
We have
games.
A shit ton of board games. So,
you can always play something.
Mm-hmm. Anywho, what are we doing?
Oh.
We should probably start doing this.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone. My name's Chelsea.
I'm Erin.
And this is Slasher Movie Review. On tonight's episode of Slasher Movie Review, I think we're going to Pittsburgh or some eastern city in Stir of Echoes, which came out in 1999. It's an hour and 39 minutes, and you can find this on Tubi for free.
It's Chicago.
Is it Chicago?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because Chicago accents to me sometimes really sound like Boston. And for those of you that live in those cities that are listening, sorry, but it's just all kinds of
pretty sure it's blends Chicago.
Together. I'm pretty sure it is, too, now that you say that.
Mm-hmm.
It's directed by David Koepp. Or Cope, depending. It's written by Richard Matheson, who actually was the author of the novel. Richard Matheson also wrote I Am Legend and Trilogy of Terror.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. And it's also written by David Koepp, who worked on Jurassic Park, Indiana Jones, and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, too, which was the worst Indiana Jones ever.
You think so?
Just my opinion.
I haven't seen the newest one yet, so I can't.
I heard the new one is decent.
My favorite is, I don't know what my favorite one is. What's your favorite?
I like, not Raiders, Last Crusade.
I like
Sean Connery.
Last Crusade. Yeah, I can agree with that.
And Elsa, when mm-hmm. she steps, you can't cross the seal. It can be ours, Indy. And she like, her greed gets her.
Yep.
This
sucks to suck.
Sucks to suck, Nazi lady. This stars Kevin Bacon as Tom, Footloose, Tremors, lots of other things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Catherine Erb. Yep. As Maggie, his wife. She was in D2, Mighty Ducks, and Law and Order Criminal Intent.
Oh, yeah. Law and Order forever. Mm-hmm. I didn't write down any of their names because sometimes I'll be like, ooh, I think this is how you say it.
Mom, dad, son. Zachary David Cope as Jake, their son. He was in The Wedding Singer, a super minor character, and like a couple other odd things.
I wonder, was he at the Bar Mitzvah?
I think so.
Bar Mitzvah? Yeah.
Elena Douglas as Lisa, Maggie's sister. She was in Goodfellas and Cape Fear. She's also in lots of other things.
She just looks so familiar.
She's in one or two episodes of like every TV show.
Okay.
Connor O'Farrell plays Harry, the landlord. He also one of those guys that's in CSI, like all of the CSIs, one or two episodes, stuff like mm-hmm. that. Lots of cop shows.
The guy who plays Frank is kind of the same way.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
So Kevin Dunn plays Frank. He was in Transformers as Daddy Witwicky and Ghostbusters too as a politician. Steve Ripkin plays Kurt, who is Harry's son.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't put anything that he's been in, but it didn't look like a ton. Charlene Williams is Adam, who is Frank's son. Same thing, not a ton of stuff. Jennifer Morrison, who plays Samantha, was in House and Once Upon a Time.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I knew she looked familiar. It's her eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it.
That's the mains.
The mains. Trigger warning also.
Yeah.
There is sexual assault in this one. I did the timestamps, and I'm pretty sure it's an hour and 19 in to an hour 21 to 22 in. That is the entire scene.
Yeah,
it's very quick.
I watched it the first time, and that was all I needed to see.
Yes.
But so I just like, it's not horribly graphic or anything like some shit I've watched, but it was also like the teeth thing to me.
It
just
was,
like,
it
kills
was enough
me.
To give
Be
you a sick
icky. Yeah.
feeling in your stomach. So,
okay. So, Jack, the main character, is, or no, the
Tom.
Boy. Tom is the main character. Mm-hmm. Jack is the son.
Jake.
Why did I write
I don't
Jack?
Know. Probably because we were hanging out with a Jack.
I bet that. All right, I wrote Jake everywhere else. Cool.
Okay, cool.
So it just started out with Jack.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm already fucking everything up.
It's okay.
Okay, Jake. It starts out, he's a little guy. He's sitting in the bathtub talking to
he's
an imaginary
four.
Friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Adorable.
He's a cute kid.
But, like, also creepy. Just based on, like, the shit that goes down. Some of the stuff he says, you know.
Doesn't it hurt to be dead?
Yes. No.
Ugh.
Does it hurt to be dead?
Ugh,
that's what he says to his imaginary friend while he's sitting in the bathtub.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lisa is Maggie's sister. Tom and Maggie are the main couple.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa tells Tom that Maggie's pregnant. Before Maggie has a chance to tell him.
And she's not far along either. She's like 6 or 7 weeks pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was like, Lisa's, I don't even know what you would call her.
Clairvoyant, witchy person.
Yeah, like reads tarot cards, does all that
sort
of thing.
Well, I love it too, because Lisa is just like, oh yeah, she's pregnant. And Tom is like, what? And Maggie is just like, well, she's a witch. What was I supposed to do?
I mean, she's gonna know.
She's gonna know.
Yeah, so she's really into, like, the supernatural
mm-hmm.
aspect of things. Hypnosis, for one.
Yeah. Whoops.
Yeah. That night, there's a house party in the neighborhood. It's right across the street from them, mm-hmm. basically. It's kind of a normal party. When they're walking to it, though, there's like a missing person's photo up on a telephone pole of the girl in question, the main girl.
She's been missing for about 7 months.
Has it been that long?
Yeah. 6 to 7 months.
Yeah. So as the party winds down, as they do, it's always that group of stragglers that like stay up, drink too much, and they're just like having like a quiet kind of
I was usually one of those people.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
Like, party's over, I'll help you clean up, and then we can like sit around and talk about weird shit. They start talking about hypnosis. And Lisa's been like taking classes.
Yeah.
To learn how to do it. Tom wants to try it.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't believe in it.
He doesn't believe in it. He thinks it's a crock of shit. And she even says to him, she was just like, just because you kicked around the same six blocks your whole life doesn't mean that there's other stuff out there. Like,
there isn't other stuff out there.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So he's like, fine. Sure. Hypnotize me. Lisa agrees. The hypnosis scene is pretty cool.
It's super cool. Did you think the theater looked like the Croswell?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
And I looked up the house you can find on, like, it's called Latitude and Longitude. Like, you can find, like, where houses and businesses and stuff are from films.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. And there's also, I can't remember the names of any of them right now, but there's a couple websites that just have that information.
Yeah, the Croswell is a very historical opera house in our hometown.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So she goes through it, has him close his eyes, tells him to imagine sitting in a theater. Then the theater's black. Everything's black. Seats, chairs. So you kind of, then everything goes black. It goes step by step through the whole thing. The screen is white.
Yeah.
And it's cool because him in the chair and the chair's like floating up to the screen. And it's, you know, it's different. I think the first time I saw it, it like blew my mind. When did this come out? 99. As well as like Sixth Sense and like a bunch of other cool.
A few years of time in the early 90s or the late 90s and early 2000s that just came out with some bangers.
Yeah. And one of the reasons, getting sidetracked, one of the reasons that this kind of like went under the radar and didn't get as much credit is because it came out right around the time The Sixth Sense did.
Okay.
Like, I want to say within the same year.
Yeah.
Or a year of it. So this one just kind of got like pushed aside, even though it's great. So he's hypnotized and he sees like just a quick little flash of like plastic being pulled over someone's face.
Yeah.
And then wakes up. They kind of like.
He's like in tears.
When he wakes up, he's like panicking.
Yeah.
And Lisa just kind of laughs and she's like, well, you're part of the 8% of people that can get like full on hypnotized.
Yeah.
He talked about a childhood bully.
Yeah.
He put a safety pin through his hand
and
like doesn't remember any of it.
Nope.
Well, that night they go home. Well, I should probably say at this point it's like early morning.
Yeah.
Him and his wife are messing around. And he's, like, trying to, like, get into it. And he kept having, like, little flashes of, like, kind of brutal scenes.
Yeah.
So finally he stops and he's like, I can't do this. And she gets kind of mad at him. Because, well, plus when she, like, admitted to being pregnant, he was like, oh. I think he says, like, bummer.
He's not. They have kind of a conversation about how he didn't want to be a lineman.
His whole life.
His whole life. But. This was in 99. I think now, like, almost 10, 15 years later, 20.
Almost 25 years later.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
That was a decade off.
We're old.
Shit. Now people are like.
People make big money.
Linemen make a shit ton of money now.
I think there's, like, different types, though.
Okay.
because I know linemen that like climb up the gigantic telephone poles and like do that kind of work, or electric lines and stuff. Yeah. And then he's like, I don't know.
Like phone.
I don't know enough about it to keep talking about it.
But yeah, I just thought.
But he, I think, wanted to be like in a better place.
Like management.
Yeah, kind be of. Making more money. Mm-hmm. They already have one kid.
Yeah.
And I don't think by any means they're like poor, like they have a nice house, but I think he like wanted more for them.
Yeah.
So yeah, they have like a little talk about it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not having like the best. It's a little tense for them. So he has visions of like a murder or something. He's not sure. So he stops. So he, this part like freaked me out. When he gets up and he gets a glass of water,
mm-hmm.
and when he puts the glass down, there's like blood in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like looking at his teeth and
I hate it.
I know. And he has like a loose tooth that he pulls out and it falls into the sink. Mm-hmm. But then he rinses his mouth out. He starts to like freak out about it. And when he looks up, he's fine.
He's fine.
Teeth are all there.
I do really enjoy that he's very open with Maggie about what's going on and isn't secretive about it.
Because in a lot of horror movies, when shit like that starts happening,
uh-huh.
either they tell their spouse and their spouse like 100% doesn't believe them.
Yes.
Or they just like keep it a secret until it gets like so bad.
Yeah. But he's very open about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that.
So that happens and he like freaks out about it. Well, then he goes downstairs and tries to watch TV. And while he's watching TV, he sees a girl.
Mm-hmm. Sitting on the couch.
Sitting on the couch. Tom calls Lisa to just be like, what the fuck did you do to me?
Would you ever be hypnotized?
If I knew somebody wasn't going to fuck with me and do something like this.
Yeah. Okay. I would not. I don't like that. I don't know.
So you wouldn't want to be hypnotized and have somebody like tell you to, you know, when you hear the word toothpaste, you bark or like.
Yeah, no, I don't. Mm-mm. I like to be fully in control of my body.
So when he asks her like what happened, she says that she left his mind open she wanted him to be more open-minded.
Yeah, that was the only phrase that she told him.
Yeah. And he was like, well, what the fuck does that mean? And she's like, I don't know. I've never tried it before.
Oh.
Yeah. So then the son, you already know that he's like having a conversation with a ghost. He's a wee bit
special.
Yeah, he's a little different. Debbie is trying to wait. Not Debbie. What is wrong with me tonight?
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Maggie is trying to like get a last minute babysitter mm-hmm. for him. She's calling around, doesn't know what to do, and he says, "Call Vanessa and ask about Debbie."
Jake does.
Yeah, Jake says that.
He's
just
like playing with trucks in the living room, and he was like, "Call and ask about Debbie."
Yeah. Like, how does he know that? You know? So they get the babysitter. Fine. Debbie mm-hmm. comes over. They go out. The whole time they're out, though, they're, like, going to an event somewhere, a sporting event.
They go to there's a lot of parties. There's a lot of happenings around here.
Well, it's the city.
It is the city.
It's not like here where it's like, oh, we have 3 feet of snow. I guess we're going to watch another movie.
Yeah, cool.
We're not walking to events anywhere.
Yeah.
So he's getting a vibe. He keeps seeing like anything red, like glows red and it kind of like freaks him out. So, they're with Frank and Frank's like, have some liquor, have this and that. And he's just kind of like, you can tell that, Tom like doesn't look good.
No.
So he's starting to get a headache. Frank is being dumb. Jake's at home talking to his friend and Debbie hears it on the monitor.
Mm-hmm.
She goes upstairs. Who are you talking to? Jake tells Debbie that he's talking to Samantha.
And Samantha says it's always dark where she is.
Yep.
No, thank you.
Ugh. So Debbie, which you don't know at this time.
Don't know.
She freaks out, mm-hmm. grabs him, books it out of the house.
Yep.
I think Tom goes home first. Tom and Maggie go home and realize that she's gone. Or no, do they go straight to the train station?
Tom immediately is like, she took the kid.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's like, something's wrong.
Yeah, because they have kind of a connection now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of, he follows the red light, right?
Yeah.
And he ends up going to the train station.
Mm-hmm.
Where Debbie is with Jake, yep. holding him, freaking out because Debbie is Samantha's sister.
Yep.
And she took Jake running to her mom, who works at the train yep. station, to be like, what, you know.
What the fuck?
Yeah. She's yeah. alive. This boy talks to her. He's seen her, blah, blah, blah. And it's a big fiasco, obviously.
It is a big fiasco.
Maggie wants to press charges, and Tom is like, well, whatever.
After Tom realizes that it's this woman's sister that he keeps seeing, mm-hmm. he's like, no, it's fine. Like, we're not pressing charges. It's fine. And then Debbie pulls out a picture of Samantha, and it's just like, have you seen this girl? And he's like, no, I've never seen her.
I know. Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is he going to say?
And then that makes, but that, like, the way he says it makes him seem suspicious.
Yeah.
Because he just kind of puts his head down like, no.
Yeah.
The mom insists that her daughter ran away, but Debbie, like, knows better. Mm-hmm. Debbie knows she would never run away.
Yeah.
Because she's a little tiny bit different. Like, she has a very naive personality,
mm-hmm.
I think is how they explain it.
Yeah.
That she has, like, more of, like, a child's brain.
Yeah.
So she's just super trusting and mm-hmm. doesn't really...
She doesn't really understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't pick up on everything that's going on around her. Oh, my God. So they get Jake home, and his mom and dad are both just staring at him.
Yep.
And they're like, well, do you talk to her? Do you just, what does she say? Blah, blah, blah. And they're both grilling him. And then in, like, a scary voice,
mm-hmm.
he says, don't ask the boy any more questions.
Yeah.
In, like, a deep, like, ghost voice.
Yeah. I do like to
and I'm glad though that Maggie saw that.
Yes, she knows some hinky stuff is going on.
Yeah.
She doesn't know to the extent of it, but she's at least with Tom on this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, they like get into an argument about it
because
they like don't know what to do.
No.
And Tom's acting crazy.
Yeah.
And Tom is like staying up all night, sitting on the couch, waiting to see a ghost
and
again.
And like Maggie is talking to Lisa about it like the next day or whatever. And she's just like, I'm not shocked there's another woman. The fact that she's dead, well, I don't know about that. So it's kind of like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then, once again, another big neighborhood party.
Yep.
Tom starts asking about Samantha at the party. Starts asking around. Like, oh, the missing girl.
Frank and Harry.
Yeah.
And their other friend, Lenny. And Lenny is like, oh, you know, like the retard. And Frank is just like, you don't call her that. Like, he gets very defensive.
Frank, that's kind of when you know, like, is there something? Like, what's going on?
Frank shoots Lenny down real quick and is like, no, you don't say that. You don't call her that.
Yeah. Harry talks about how she ran off.
Yeah. Who knows? Kids run away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, at this point, is he fired or he's about to get fired for missing work?
He's about to get fired if he doesn't show up to work on Monday.
So Maggie's worried about it. Tom has... Like, you don't know at the time that it's, mm-hmm. like, a vision.
Yeah.
But Frank, like, comes to him and says, I gotta kill you, Tommy.
No, they're gonna kill you, Tommy.
Oh, they're gonna kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know, like, what that is all about. So then Tom goes to check on Sheila, Frank's wife.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's going on?
What's going on?
Frank's son is home and pulls a gun on him. And then that's when he wakes up from a dream.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he wakes up and the things in the house are the same. The things on the street are the same because he's going over to Frank's house to like see what's going on.
Yeah.
As he's going to the house, he hears a gunshot.
Yeah.
And Frank's son, Adam, had shot himself.
Yep. You don't know why.
You don't know why.
Mm-mm.
Just suicide.
He's not dead.
No, yeah, but attempted. Yeah. Mm-hmm. While this is going on, like kind of chaos, Maggie decides to take Jake for a walk. Just to like get him out of the area while all this shit's going on in their neighborhood. And what does Jake do? Runs directly into a funeral in a cemetery.
Oh, an officer's funeral.
Yeah. And he just like walks right in. And one policeman stops them. And
well, and it's weird because like Jake like kind of like walks up and there's the line of the officers and one police officer like kind of leans back and like does a little like wave.
Yeah, just like a little looky at him to kind of, you know, acknowledge he's there.
Yeah.
And then that officer stops them and says, boy's got the eyes.
Yeah. And to which I wrote down, I was like, why is it always a black guy that has The Shining?
I know. I was that like, has to like tell you
that, has to tell
that
you
also have like the gift. But yeah, that cracked me up too. I'm like, okay, so this is just straight out of The Shining.
Yeah.
He's got the shinin.
Yep. He's got the x-ray eyes.
So then he gives them like his card for Tom so that they can like talk.
Yeah. Because he talks to Maggie and is just like, I'm guessing it's the dad. And
yeah. Not you. He's like, I don't see it in you, the dad.
Yeah.
And he says something, I guess it's a little bit later. But when the policeman's name is Neil, without knowing his name, he says, bye, Jake. Mm-hmm. And Jake says, bye, Neil.
I know.
Which was a little adorable. Like,
and creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Maggie says she's leaving for a movie. And
would you like leave them home alone?
No.
I wouldn't either.
And she goes to track down Neil, the police officer.
Yeah.
Now, he'd given the information to her for Tom.
Mm-hmm.
So when she gets there, like, it's just a bunch of, like, really... He just opens the door to this address. And there's, like, oh, who is that? Blah, blah, blah. Get her out of here.
Yeah, this
like,
isn't a freak show.
Yeah, super paranoid people. And I think ideally Tom should have went.
Tom should have went. She should have told Tom, like, hey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Neil explains it as like a flashlight. And that Jake is a good flashlight and that they need to listen to the ghost.
Yeah. So Tom's flashlight keeps flickering on and off.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's just like, now your son is a much better flashlight. Because Jake's is always on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is scary.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually terrifying.
Yeah. I was like, he's like Odd Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Just constant barrage of people.
Oh, Odd Thomas was so good.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Did you ever read those books or did you just watch the movie?
I read the first one.
They're all the books are so good.
What was the guy's name? Anton. Not Anton, but he passed away. His car ran into him.
Yeah.
Oh. And he was Chekhov in Star Trek.
Yes. I can't remember his name.
Oh, what a good actor. Anyway.
Yelkin?
Yes.
Yelchin? Something like that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that night, Maggie gets home. She runs a bath. Everyone's just kind of doing their own thing. Jake's watching TV in the bedroom.
I don't know what the fuck cartoon or puppet show he's watching, but what the fuck is that?
I don't know. He's got something on the TV that he's watching. Maggie goes to take a bath. Tom is distracted. Oh, that was another thing. Tom was in a band and he kind of expected the band to do something and it didn't.
Yeah.
And I think that's like a letdown for a lot of musicians to think that one day they're going to make it. And it's just like any other like
hometown band.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, not even that. Just like, I'm going to grow up and be a professional football player, or I'm going to be in a band and I'm going to tour. Or, like, it's nice to dream about that stuff and try, but you also have to know that it might not and probably won't work out for you.
You need a Jennifer.
Hmm?
I said you need a Jennifer to make it big from a hometown band.
Yes. Yes, you do. Yeah, so when Maggie goes to get in the bathtub, the water is freezing cold. So she yells about Tom lighting the pilot light. Mm-hmm. He doesn't listen. I think she's doing what every wife has done at some point in her life, been like, fine, I'll do it myself.
I'll fucking do it myself. That's like 99% of my life.
So she goes down in the basement to
Would
light.
You go into this fucking basement too, by the way?
I don't know. I go in a lot of scary basements.
Oh, that's true. It's just, it's one of those basements that's like a hatch in the floor in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And then you like go down. And it's
yeah,
not even...
and there's like a rug over the top of it.
Yeah. It's like a full-on door hatch that you pull all the way off. It's not on hinges or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird to me.
I think it's because we're just used to our type of basements.
I think so.
I don't know. I'm trying to think if I've ever lived anywhere that had a basement like that, but I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
The closest one would probably be in Palmyra because you could, there was a door that you could close or like a board you could slide across.
Yes.
So that you could have a pantry and the board went over the stairs and you never had to go
down
the stairs.
Oh my God, I remember that.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Wasn't that house haunted as fuck?
Oh, that house is creepy.
Yeah.
I think, though, for me, some reason, when a house isn't laid out in, like, a normal way, it just gives me the creeps.
Yeah.
It's, like, off. It's, like, a fun house.
That
off.
Mackenzie house that we looked at, that Mike and I looked at, I didn't get weird vibes, but it was laid out weird.
The giant one?
The giant one.
I thought that house was fine.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was laid out weird.
I did.
Well, the Palmyra house had like that L-shaped living room. Mm-hmm. So it had that big space that was just like wasted space. And then when you shut the bathroom door, the stairs going up to the attic were right there.
Oh,
like in the bathroom.
Oh, yes. So it's all coming back to me.
It was just kind of like a funky mm-hmm. house.
Yeah.
I didn't think the Mackenzie house was like that at all.
Yeah, I think maybe because we had talked about, because the basement was like unusable.
Yeah.
Like, and we had talked about putting boards over the top because it still had an entrance from the outside. And we had talked about putting boards over the top and putting our washer and dryer in there.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. just never using the basement.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd still have to get down there for like your fuse box
yeah.
and stuff. But in that house, the basement wasn't usable, but it was so old fashioned. So you walked into a big room.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was like another big room right next to it.
Yeah.
And then the big kitchen in the back. What was weird about that house is that there was nowhere to put the refrigerator.
Yeah. I remember talking to Mike, and we wouldn't have gotten the house anyway. But
like they put in all new cabinets, but then there was nowhere to put the refrigerator.
You had to like take out cabinets in order to put anything in there.
I thought that was weird.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Anyway.
Basement.
She goes down into the basement and the pilot light is lit.
Mm-hmm.
While she's down there, Tom has another vision that there's plastic all over everything in his house.
Mm-hmm. And it's cold.
And it's cold. And there's an orange jacket. Tom goes to Lisa that he wants her to shut the door. And when she tries to hypnotize him to have the door shut, there's someone in the theater with him.
Yeah.
Door won't shut.
Nope.
Yes. So while he's in the theater, he's sitting there freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think while he's hypnotized, he's like freaking out too,
yeah.
right? She like can't get him to come out of it. And the screen, the big white screen in giant black letters says dig.
Mm-hmm.
So that's his like ghost message. And then Kevin Bacon digs a lot and is really sexy.
It's like Ryan Reynolds chopping wood in the pouring rain in Amityville.
Or,
But I don't particularly think Kevin Bacon is super attractive, but then I don't
like... I don't think he's that cute either.
Okay.
I think in this film, he has a hot body.
I think in Tremors was probably...
That's because he's like country.
He's like country.
And he's got like the tight jeans and cowboy boots.
Yes, I but... like that. I don't really have a type, but I know what I like.
You, when you see it, you know.
I see it, I know.
So then he kind of like gets a little bananas. He is he digging out. Up his whole backyard and his entire refrigerator is filled with OJ.
Yeah.
And I think at this point he's lost his job, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
And like Jake is out back like helping dig too.
Which is adorable.
It's so cute. He's like loading up his little like Tonka truck with dirt.
Yeah. Maggie then, while all this chaos is going on, she gets a message from her brother that her grandmother's
on a
back.
Fax?
In, yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
That her grandmother's back in the hospital again.
Yep. This is kind of weird.
Yeah. Because Tom starts to say, like, don't bother going to the hospital. But he cuts himself off.
He does.
And then what? He says he doesn't want to go to the funeral.
Yeah, so she goes to answer the phone and she's like, yeah, we'll talk in a minute. And Kevin Bacon is just like, no, you don't. She's all ready. And then she picks up the phone.
Yeah.
And she hangs up and stuff after her. It was told to her by her brother that her grandma died.
Yeah.
And she was like, you knew, didn't you? And
yeah.
He was just like, yeah.
Weird.
Mm-hmm. And he said that he doesn't want to go to the funeral. Like, they hug and stuff. Like, everything's fine. Because they get into, like, a pretty big ripper argument out in the lawn. And then he comes in. They kind of make up.
Because he's digging up the whole backyard.
Yeah. And so then he hugs her. And she's just like, well, I guess, like, we'll leave tonight or whatever. And he's just like, oh, like, I'm going. And she's like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah.
Yes,
like,
you're going.
My grandmother raised me.
Yeah.
You're going.
So she's just like, fine, I'll just take Jake and you can just fucking stay here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is how I would act.
In that tone.
Mm-hmm. I'd act like that, too.
Mm-hmm.
So Tom is having some issues with the hose. So he goes down into the basement. And that's when it dawns on him that he needs to start digging in the house.
Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, yeah.
So he starts ripping his house apart.
And he's renting. He's renting,
from
Larry
a house.
Or Harry.
He rents a jackhammer. At this point, Maggie and Tom talk and they apologize.
Yeah.
So that's good at least. She wants to come and get him. And when she's like, yeah, I'll come and pick you up, the house is fucking destroyed.
It's fucking destroyed.
The floorboards are torn up. There's mountains of dirt all over the place.
In
the basement. So when she's getting ready to, like, go pick him up, she asks Jake, you know, like, come on, let's go. And Jake says he wants to stay with Uncle Steve because of the feathers.
He's scared of the feathers.
Yeah. I got goosebumps now.
I know. Me too.
So he gives his mom her purse with a knife in it.
Yeah, we're about ready to kick off into crazy town, everybody.
Yep. So while all this is going on, Tom tears a part of the wall down and Samantha's body's wrapped up in plastic.
He sees the coat.
He sees the coat.
And then And the thing that is astounding to me, for people that wanted to cover this up so much, they did a fucking piss poor job hiding her body.
Yeah.
Put her under cement or something in your basement. Like,
yeah.
What are you doing? It's all he had to do was like touch the wall on a fucking.
And the wall, the bricks were loose. And like the bricks like crumbled practically when he touched them.
And she's very mummified. Like,
yes.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not. A forensic
person. Well, it kind of reminded me of the story, and I think they talked about it on, I'm sure they talked about it on a lot of stuff, but they found someone in a, someone fell behind the refrigerators.
What?
It was a grocery store, and you know the big, like, freezers?
Yeah.
Somebody had climbed up and fallen behind it. And died and, like, mummified back there. Because,
oh, my God.
Yeah. And they didn't find the person for, like, years, I think. until they were like tearing down the store and here's this missing person.
But that was like years.
That I guess had worked at the store.
Just.
But sometimes they would like climb up there for whatever reason.
Okay.
To take a nap. I don't know. Yeah. But they think that they fell back down there and then they couldn't hear them and they just died back there.
Oh my God. How terrible.
Yeah. Super terrible.
And it always sucks like when I hear about that stuff because I like put myself in that position and then it just freaks me out even more.
Yeah. I don't want to think about it. Mm-hmm. Terrible.
I don't know if that's considered empath or what, but I can like.
That's empathy.
Yeah. I can like physically feel myself like in.
Yeah.
A space like that and I don't like it.
Yeah, that would be like an empath, I think, is what that's called.
If you believe in all that mumbo jumbo.
Anyway. Well, I feel like when I'm around people that are in really bad moods, it like puts me in a bad mood too.
Puts me in a better mood. I just feed off of that negativity.
Like, I feel like people's bad energy like tries to get me. I'm in a good mood. Leave me alone.
Just leave me alone.
Take your negativity elsewhere, please. Can't handle it. Because
good vibes only.
Yeah. Good vibes only.
Live, laugh, love.
Fuck you.
Hashtag PSL. Which, they're coming out soon. I know. I get one every year.
It's only one. It's too early. It's too early for that. Save it for September 1st.
I get one PSL every year, but I will get like an apple drink quite frequently
because
I like apple stuff.
I mean, I usually get cider when cider comes around, but I usually try to keep the, I love Halloween and I still try to keep it till September.
September 1st.
August is still summer.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
Okay. We like got sidetracked at the exciting conclusion to Stir of Echoes.
I know. This is a, it's a shit show.
So when Tom like touches her body, he sees the whole thing.
This is a big flashback.
Big flashback. So he knows what happened.
I do like her coat, by the way.
Oh, I do too.
It's a cute coat.
I'll just skim it. These two guys, so you're walking down the street. They're like, come here and hang out with us.
Are Frank.
Yeah. Kurt and Adam.
Harry's kids.
Yes. Frank and Harry's kids.
Douchebag McGee's.
Two boys.
One of them is more douchebag than the other.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They invite her into the house. One of them tries to kiss her. She kind of grope her a little bit.
It's just the whole scene's icky. I don't
well,
like it.
They end up knocking her down, knocks a tooth out.
Yep.
And then.
And she's like crying and stuff.
And she's crying. And one of them gets the brilliant idea to just, like, shut her up.
To just kill her.
And puts plastic over her face and she dies.
Yeah.
I don't think they think kill her, but they want her to be quiet. So they wrap a plastic bag over her head. Or a plastic from, because this was when the house was being worked on, so it's just sitting there empty.
Yeah.
The boys, I'm sure, go in there to party and fucking drink and whatever.
Yeah, because it's St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm.
So they were in there, like, listening to music. And that's when Rolling Stones play, which is what Tom kept like hearing in his head was that song.
Mm-hmm.
So it's super terrible and I hate it.
I guess that comes up too where like you see him sitting there with his guitar and he's like trying to play something.
He's like, why don't I know this song?
He like thinks about it and then Jake comes over and he's like, no, play here.
Yeah.
And like puts his hand up on like a different chord. And then he's, like, playing it, like, I've heard this, what is this? And it's, a Rolling Stones song. So.
And then it's not Adam, it's Kurt, who's just like, oh, I've never seen a dead body before. And Adam is, like, almost throwing up.
Yeah.
And Kurt's just like, fine, he's just going about his day.
Yeah. Well, and that's why Adam has the guilt to caused him to shoot himself.
Yeah.
Where?
Adam and Frank.
Huh?
Adam and Frank. But we'll get into it. Because Frank has a lot of guilt.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, sorry.
So, okay. He sees what happens to her. Tom goes to Frank to talk about Adam.
Yes.
Yeah. And they go back to the house.
Mm-hmm.
Frank just says, what were we supposed to do? It was an accident. So that then you know that Frank and Harry were in on hiding the body.
Yeah, they knew what happened.
Because, you know, it would ruin their lives if they went to jail for killing her.
They have their entire lives ahead of them.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this one person, 20 seconds of a bad decision shouldn't, oh, fucking Brock Turner's all over.
I
fuck.
I shouldn't have even said that.
They can't enjoy their steak dinners in prison.
I know. How are they going to go off and be professional football players with this one little tarnish on their record? Okay. Okay.
Anyway. we're done. But yeah. Frank is just like, well, like they had their entire lives.
Well, so then
so did Samantha.
Harry and Kurt show up.
Mm-hmm. Well, Frank.
Yeah.
Frank is down in the basement and he pulls out a gun and he's like sobbing. He's just like, we didn't mean for this to happen. Mm-hmm. Like it was just a terrible accident, blah, blah, blah. And so he shoots at Tom and Tom's like, oh, fuck, I'm getting the fuck out of here. And Frank is just like, leave, whatever. And so then as soon as Tom comes up the steps of the basement, he hears one more gunshot, assuming that Frank shot himself.
I mean, that's what I assumed.
Mm-hmm.
But no. So, of course, like, Harry and Kurt show up.
Mm-hmm.
They are, of course, going to kill Tom.
Yeah, they show up and, like, Frank is just like, hey, like, I heard some construction going on. Like, it's raining a ton out here. Like, we should
come in?
And then Tom's like, no. But Frank just, like, pushes in. And then you see Frank kind of walking around the living room. And then you see Kurt, like, shut the door behind him. And you're like, oh, no. Something terrible is going to happen.
Yes. So Maggie shows up. Like, because she went to pick him up.
Yeah.
And when she goes to pick him up, she sees all the lights in the house.
They like slowly start. Yeah. They slowly start to turn off. And she's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, hey, puppy. She reaches around, grabs her knife.
Mm-hmm. Just in case.
Just in case. When Maggie comes in the house, that's when like Frank starts blasting. Because he shoots Harry and Kurt, right?
Yeah, so Frank or Harry shoves Tom down and almost like knocks him out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Maggie comes in.
It's like the one punch and he's unconscious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which wouldn't happen. And Maggie comes in and is just like, what the fuck, Tom? And that's when Frank grabs Maggie and shoves her down. And he's going to shoot her. And Maggie pulls a clutch move and stabs Harry in the foot.
Yes.
And that's when Frank comes up and shoots Kurt and Harry. And
while the shooting's going on, this is fucking scary. So the feathers, you know, Jake doesn't want to come home because he's afraid of the feathers. One of the rounds
from Harry,
gets shot through the ceiling, right directly through Jake's bed and pillow, and there's like a big fluff of feathers falling down.
Yep.
Terrifying.
It's so scary.
Yeah. Then it's kind of over.
Things are a little settled down, and Frank is standing there with a gun, and he's like, they were going to kill you, Tommy, you and Maggie. And then he just like walks out. So it's the same scene essentially that Tom saw earlier.
So then there's funeral for Samantha. You see the family moving, Tom, Maggie, Jake. They're rolling out. Obviously I would not want to live there anymore either.
No.
So, as they're moving, you see Jake in the back seat, and every house they go by, he hears, like, little whispers. Yeah.
But before that, like...
Oh, sorry.
when they are, when the cops show up and everything, you see Samantha out on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Like putting on her glasses and like zipping up her jacket. And then she has like a big smile on her face and she like walks away.
Yes. So she's.
Crime solved.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cold case.
But done. Yeah, then like Aaron said, they're like moving and stuff, like moving all their shit in or out of the house. And Jake just hears a barrage of
voices.
That would be awful. It would be like Edward in Twilight. Like you would just have to learn to shut it off.
You'd have to, but like, there's a sequel to this. Did you know that?
No.
I'm pretty sure there's a sequel.
That's cool.
I've never even heard of it. I wonder if it's good. I liked this. Gore.
Oh, God. Not even.
Yeah. Scariness? 2.5.
I would do 2.5 also. Yeah. Because it's just, it's creepy, especially if you're into, like, the paranormal stuff.
It is paranormal creepy.
I do feel bad for Frank and Adam because they were just put in a shitty situation. And I think, I mean, Adam is still there and he still did stuff, but...
He could have
went to the cops. He could have went to the cops. He could have left.
But this, you know, just on the short scene that you see them both together, like, Kurt is the one in charge.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
There's always a ringleader.
Yep.
Dig.
I'm sure bullying him into, like, staying quiet about it, mm-hmm. even though his guilt is, like, driving him crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would recommend it. I love this movie.
I would too. Yes. Even with the assault, because I know that like we don't do ones with assault. This one was very minor compared to
a lot of, yeah, a lot of them that we've skipped out on.
Yeah, because no thank you. Yeah, I really like this a lot.
Yeah, that's all I got.
I remember watching it. I can't remember who I watched it with. It might have been with Dad.
Yeah.
Which, it was one of those where Dad would be like, cover your eyes.
Yeah. Like, don't watch this with me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that was Stir of Echoes. And I feel like we've been a little, like, lax with posting and things lately. But I'll try to pick it up. It's summer and it's super busy. And
I can do it.
I know. Yeah.
I'm just not signed into anything to do it.
That's okay. Anyway, apologies, but it probably won't ever get fixed. Anyway.
I apologize, but I'm not doing anything about it, so fuck off.
If you like what you hear, please follow us on Instagram. It's /your movie review, all one word, all lowercase. We also have a Facebook page, /your movie review. And if iTunes and Spotify aren't your jam, listen to us every Friday night on mtrsradio.com at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
All right. Well, I hope everybody has a good night and a good week.
Bye.
Bye.